Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37. We're going to begin reading at verse 35. Amen. Psalm 37, 35. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The psalmist says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God has the wicked's number? Aren't you glad that we are living in a season of transition? Aren't you glad? For 8 years we have seen the wicked in power, but he is no more. We are living in a period of transition. We just transitioned from 2016, 2017. Our government is transitioning from a Muslim liberal to someone who appears to be a God-fearing man. Our Jones house is transitioning from what was to be a home with a baby to a silent home. Transitions can be good. Transitions can be bad. Change is often hard. But God is the author of change. We see transitions in power. The one we just read. Power being removed from one place and to another. We see transitions in life. Psalms 90:10, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they can be 80, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, and it's soon cut off and we fly away. We see death as a transition. We see pleasure as a transition. We're reminded of the parable that Jesus told in Luke about the man who had plenty of harvest. And so he said, what am I going to do? I'll build a bigger barn and I'll store it up and I will just take it easy and say, soul, take your rest. And the voice from heaven said, you fool, for tonight your soul will be required of you. And so when everything's going good, oftentimes you may think, oh, I've got it made now. I've got money in the bank. I've got this. I've got that. And instantly everything can change. Transition. And unless God is God in your life, you are not prepared for those transitions. There is the transition of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13:8 tells us charity never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Do you realize that some people think I'm a good prophecy teacher? I don't know if I am or not, but regardless of that, when we get to heaven, I'll be out of a job. There will be no need for prophecy. It will transition away. Their prophecies will fail. And tongues, they will cease. And where there's knowledge, it's going to vanish away. Right? There will be no need for prophecy. There will be no need for tongues. There will be no need for knowledge, words of knowledge. Once we get to heaven, we will transition away from all that. None of that will be important anymore. Things that we think are important now will not be important. We are living in an age of transition. There's even transition in glory. We're told in 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as a flower of grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade away. You know, there are people whose whole life is about having that perfect lawn. And yet we know that during the tribulation, all the trees and the grass, many of it's going to be burned up, huh? That poor guy that just spends his waking hours manicuring and watering and trimming that lawn, for what? That's the problem with transitions. That's the problem with putting all your eggs in one basket. That's the problem with making things that are transitional permanent in your life. It doesn't last. For we are dust. Psalms 103:14. He knows our frame, and he remembers that we are just dust. I think since God knows our frame and God knows we're dust, it stands to reason that we should know we're dust as well. Amen. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. I remind the Lord I'm dust every once in a while. Lord, you know I'm just dust. Please have mercy on me. I'm just a pile of dust. Got a little water put together like a mud pie. I'm a little mud pie man here, made from dust. Have mercy. But there are also things that do endure. Transition. Jesus told us in John 6:27, do not labor for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endures into everlasting life. You see, some people, that's what they labor for. They labor for substance. Yes, we have to eat. Yes, we have to have a house, a roof over our head. We need clothes, food, shelter, clothing, right? They call it man's three basic needs. But some people, that's all they labor for, is for the physical. But as Christians, we understand that there is more than the physical, that Jesus taught us to labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endures. And there is a meat that endures. It is the meat of God's word. It is the meat of God's work. It is the meat of God, his relationship. And that is the things that we should labor for in 2017, and not just for the meat. Those are the things that endure. 1 Corinthians 3:14, we're told that if any man works, abide, which he's built upon, he shall receive a reward. We should labor for the things that endure, not the things that are transitional. We should labor to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. When the judgment seat of Christ comes, we don't want our life to be nothing but hay, wood, and stubble. We want gold and silver and precious stones. We want to know that we have touched someone's life. We want to know that we've made a difference. We want to know that God has used us so that some eternal merit may come from our life. The Apostle Paul called his disciples his children, that I've labored for you as a father would labor for his children. And God, help us to be the spiritual fathers and mothers of people. That is something worth laboring for. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. As we look into 2017, one of the most important things that will endure is our faith and our hope and our love. These won't transition. These won't change. And so we must keep the faith. We must have hope, and we must love one another. Amen. The other day I was talking to the Lord, and he said, start seeing people as if they're like Harrison. I love my son Harrison. I love all my kids, but Harrison was the kid who didn't act up, or at least he didn't get caught. And all the other kids say, he's your favorite. I said, no, I love them all. It's just I don't have to yell at him. I found out later he did do a lot of things. He just didn't get caught. But you know, you have that person that is just the jewel of your heart. And God wants us to love all of his children like you love the person closest to you. You know, it's not when you love someone, you overlook their faults. You overlook their hang-ups. You overlook, and you don't mind doing something. They say, hey, can I, you know, Josh called me. Can you come and get me this morning? Sure. Because I love him like I love my own son, and I love you guys like I love my own daughter. And so I want to do stuff for you. I want to be there for you. And that's the kind of love that endures. That's what 2017 needs to be. As all of these transitions are taking place, we hold on to our faith. We hold on to our hope and we hold on to our love because those never change. Those endure. And 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but that which is not seen is eternal. And so in a world of transition, in a world of change, in a world where things dissolve and pass away, we look past the physical and the concrete that we see as real, and we look to what's really real, the eternal. That verse in Revelation just blows my mind where it says, and Jesus Christ appears before whose face heaven and earth pass away. It's like, bam, there's Jesus, and all of a sudden, things that we think are real just vanish, and we don't even see the things around us anymore because Jesus is what's real, and all of this is not. This is temporary. This is transitional. This is passing away. Keep your eyes on the prize in 2017. Amen. So 2017, I believe, will be a year of shaking. A year of shaking. Hebrews 12:27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You see, as we enter 2017, I believe that this is probably going to be one of the most amazing years that mankind has ever seen. I believe that we're going to see governments change. I believe we're going to see economy change. I believe we're going to see the church change. I believe we're going to see the world change. We're going to see a shaking that this world has never seen. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. You will be shaken. I will be shaken. That doesn't mean we have to be knocked down. Doesn't mean we have to fall. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And then that which remains is the things that cannot be shaken. Bless God. I said bless God. He called us into this relationship so that we could be the image of Christ in these last days. Just as Peter and James and John were chosen to be the disciples in the first century church, you and I have been chosen to be the disciples in the last century church. We are the privileged, honored children of God that God will use if you let him in these last days. We will not fearfully stop. We won't fall back. We won't be afraid. We'll square our shoulders and we'll say, thank you, Jesus, for choosing me for 2017. This is the year that God is going to do mighty things. Amen. And we get to be a part of it. I said we get to be a part of it. Every day we should get up and say, Lord, this is it. I will not be complacent. I will not be lackadaisical. I will not be lazy. I will not be soft. I will not be faint-hearted. This is the day, God, and this is the hour for the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want to be a part of it. Amen. Hallelujah. So let the shaking happen. Jesus told us that there would come a day where men's hearts would fail them for fear of looking after the things coming on the earth. But it is not about that. Amen. It's about us, the watchmen on the wall, seeing these things. And when other men's hearts are failing them, we're saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Amen. It's that opportunity for the church to be the church. It's that opportunity for the body of Christ to stand up and be heard. I believe that God is transitioning America. for one last great revival, and I want to be a part of it. How about you? Hallelujah. Yes. And so truth endures. There has been a lot of damage done over the last 8 years. The legalizing of what God calls an abomination. Just because man legalizes it does not mean God does. There has been a lot of bad things happen over the last 8 years. But truth endures. Truth is not subject to the White House. Truth is truth. Amen? I said truth is truth. Psalm 119:72, the law of your mouth is better unto me than 1,000 gold and silver. God's law trumps everything. Amen? Psalm 119:127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Psalm 119:162, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. This year, the year of the Bible, this year, 2017, is the year of truth. And we are to seek Him. Amen. He promised that if we seek Him, we'll find Him. If we seek Him with all our heart. It's time to get back in the Word. It's time to study, to show yourself approved. It's time to be hungry for the manna from heaven because the truth endures. John 1:14. Jesus is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. That truth endures. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to me but by me. That truth endures. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king? And Jesus said, you say that I am. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. That truth endures. Jesus is still alive. Doesn't matter what the past administration done. Doesn't matter what laws have been passed. Truth endures. Jesus is enduring, and we are enduring and holding on to that truth. Amen? Praise God. Now, we've already seen the beginning of global transitions. You see, God is the one who lifts up kings and deposes kings. Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He saw a head of gold, a statue with a head of gold, a breast of silver, the waist area and loins of bronze, the feet of legs of iron and feet of iron and clay mixed with 10 toes. And these were every world governing empire over Israel from that day. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. The Medo-Persian Empire, the silver. The Grecian Empire was Alexander the Great, the bronze. And when Alexander the Great died, he had no sons, so they said, who do you want to take over? He said, give it to the strong. So they gave it to his four generals that covered the four corners of the middle of the known world at the time. And immediately two generals took out the other two. And so you had an east and a west. And those two legs grew, and the Roman Empire came out of them. And pretty much there was East and West Europe for all those years. And now we see what will come, a formation of a 10-nation alliance, the 10 toes, in these last days. The Antichrist will be the head of these 10-nation alliance, and he will set up his rule. And we know what's going to happen, don't we? We know. We know exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be a 10-nation alliance. This little horn's going to come out of the 10, and he's speaking great blasphemies. And he's going to change laws and seasons. The temple will be rebuilt. Halfway through it, he'll commit the abomination of desolation. God will preserve the Jews for 3.5 years, and Jesus will come back and set up his throne. We read the back of the book, we win. Hallelujah. And we've already seen global transitions. We know God is the one who deposes kings and sets up kings. And everyone was shocked at Obama winning, including myself. Isn't it amazing that God has some cards up his sleeve? As the old saying goes, I got a feeling he was like winking at the angel saying, hey, watch this. And our present president is going out of his way to try to do harm to Israel. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine vain things? They are the apple of God's eye. You think, Mr. President, you can stop it? You got a long road ahead of you. So what have we seen? We've seen Russia, not the U.S., dominant in the Middle East with Jordan now. We've seen Turkey pull out of NATO and align with Russia, which we knew had to happen because Turkey is named in Ezekiel 38 as one of the nations that joins Russia in the attack against Israel. And with Turkey being a member of NATO, no one ever could have dreamed that Turkey would align itself with Russia, the enemy of NATO, and yet we all knew it. We read Ezekiel 38. Turkey's got to be part of it, and now we've seen it happen in 2016. Talk about transition. And then, of course, Trump winning the election, and everyone now is talking about Jerusalem. 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 The city of God, the city of David, the city of the great king, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. That one little city, the focal point of the entire world. And for those people who don't believe the Bible, then pick up the headlines. It's exactly what we've been saying for 30 years. Jerusalem is the center of the subject of the nations of the world. And Trump is talking about moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The United Nations can pass resolutions till they're blue in the face. Jesus Christ is in charge in 2017. The church triumphant is his light and voice to the world in 2017. Transitions may come, but truth endures, and our God is still on the throne. Can I get an amen? So what of this year? Well, many of us are looking with expectation to September of 2017. I told Kaylee about September the other day. She had not heard. I can't believe she lives with me and hadn't heard this. It was one of those probably went in one ear and out the other, but I told her again, and she said, wow. Revelation chapter 12 says, I saw a great sign in heaven. A woman in heaven clothed with the sun. 12 stars at her head, the moon at her feet. And she's giving birth to a man-child that will rule the nations. And about a month ago, Jupiter, the king planet, went into a retrograde orbit. A retrograde orbit means it's moving, but in relation to us, it looks like it's pretty much standing still. And it entered the womb of Virgo, the constellation Virgo, the Virgin. And it's staying there for the length of a gestational period and will be birthed out in September. The constellation Leo, which is 9 stars, is at the head of Virgo with 3 other planets making a ring of 12 stars at her head. The moon is on her shoulder, clothing her with light. I mean, the sun and the moon is at her feet, just like it says in Revelation chapter 12. And in that chapter, there is a word used, caught up. Caught up. It's the same word that we use, translate rapture. It says that it will catch up the man-child. Now, we know Jesus was birthed and we know he ascended. But many believe that this is a clue, the way God does clues. That this is a clue as to the rapture of the church. I'm not setting dates. I don't know. But like we talked about earlier, we're watching. Amen. And this September 12th, we will see in the heavens the sign that John wrote on the island of Patmos so long ago in Revelation chapter 12 unfold in the heavens this September. Talk about a transition. That would be known as what's called the transition translation. When the church of Jesus Christ gets called home. We saw it in Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. The Bible says that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, walked with God. It also tells us in Jude what he preached. And way back then, you might say, well, I wonder what he preached back then. Well, Jude tells us that he preached, the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. Way back then. That's what Enoch preached. See, Enoch is a type of the church, and he's preaching back then what we are preaching today. The Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. And so Enoch is a type of the church, and Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not. God took him in what we call the rapture. Now, Enoch's son was Methuselah, and Methuselah means when he dies, it will come. And he died the year of the flood. So every time Chuck Missler says every time Methuselah got a cold, everybody got worried. I don't know if that's true or not. The point is, there was a sign to the people who were left behind that judgment was coming. And when the church is taken out, many people will know. And they may do all the math that we've done and know right when the midpoint is, when the true wrath of God is coming, when the judgment day is coming. And when Methuselah died, the flood came. And then there's 2 Kings 2:11. It came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both. This is Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Hallelujah. God loves to do things in threes. There is an Enoch, and there is an Elijah, and then there's us. And as sure as Enoch went up, and as sure as Elijah went up, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the dead in Christ are going to be raised. And we which are alive and remain will be gathered, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, a translation transition. This world is really not worthy of us, Hebrews says, of whom the world was not worthy, men and women of faith. They've mocked, ridiculed, and killed us for 2,000 years, and they really aren't worthy. And one day God is going to say, you don't want the light? Okay. I'm calling my salt and light home because you're really not worthy. They've went out of their way to try to warn you. They've tried to tell you, and you've mocked them and ridiculed and killed them. Enough. And God will bring his children home. And so for 2017, talk about a transition. Jesus told about two transitions. A man who had a house that he built on sand, and when the wind blew and the rain fell and the floods rose, his house fell. That was a transition. I have a house. I don't have a house. I have rubble. And he told of a man who built a house on a rock. And when the rains came and the floods rose, he had a transition. He transitioned his hand up to praise God because his house stood. If there is a shaking coming, and I believe there is, it is so important that our house is built on the rock in 2017. It is so important that we are firmly planted on the rock Jesus Christ, for all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. And so as we go forward this year, we go forward with confidence. If our foot is on the rock and our mind is made up, hell cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Come on up, Nola. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do something a little different. Let's all come forward today. I'm not necessarily asking you to pray, but I think as a body of Christ, we just need to be in agreement, in one, in unity. Amen. I'm going to ask Nola to pray, to play the He Has Done Great Things, and let's just all gather around the front as a sign of unity and dedication, perseverance. There you go, perseverance and determination that we're going to stand on the rock, we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to see God work in 2017. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the body of Christ at Faith Fellowship Church, that we are determined, Lord, to run the race with patience, looking to Jesus, our author and our finisher, as, Lord, we are entering a new year to serve you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
He has done